All right. Before today's podcast, I'd like to mention today's sponsor, FNX. Do you want to come out of quarantine a different person? Let me introduce you to FNX. FNX is the best way to get your desired summer body. They have different workout supplements to help you boost your workout performance and recovery. You can order one time or subscribe to a plan to help you with your workouts and save you money. Click the link in the description and use code FIRSTDOWN, no spaces, capital F and D, to get 15% off your first order.
All right. It's officially July now. It's been for a while.
Yep. Sorry, guys. It hasn't been. We haven't been here, but you know,
we're back. George, do you want to tell them why?
Oh, yeah. I lost my phone.
That's what we used to record our things, and he was on a fishing trip, and he dropped it in a bunch of rocks.
Yep, so...
And he finally got a new phone.
Indeed. So, in light of the big contracts we've seen in the NFL, you know, it's time that we pick our top five people who think it would be a good idea to give seven-plus-year contracts.
Obviously, Patrick Mahomes got a 10-year contract, and that's kind of what we're basing this off. But we were kind of thinking there's not too many players that we'd be willing to just freely hand out 10-year contracts to. So we just did seven plus. So that could mean 10, but we'll be specific about it. But seven definitely give us a wider range of what we can do to extend these players.
Usually, if it would be 10 plus, you'd be tied down to mostly having a quarterback, maybe lineman, but there's a lot of positions that have wear and tear, and like you need to be fast to be good at, and can't really do that. So you won't be seeing any really wide receivers or running backs on this list.
Corners.
Yeah. So do you want me to go first?
You can start us off.
All right. With my first pick, you have a 10 plus contract, I would give it to Nick Bosa. Now, the reason of this, he was just a beast last year. For his rookie year, recording 9 sacks, an interception, he had a really good year. I see him having a really high ceiling, being on the 49ers defense, who has a lot of good players. And if I were to sign him someone, a D-end who's really young and has a lot of potential, I could really see Nick Bosa being that person.
Yeah, I would definitely consider giving Nick Bosa a 7-year contract extension. But my first player is Russell Wilson. I think this one's pretty self-explanatory. Now, he does turn 32 during the 2020 season. But 7, 8, 9, even 10 years down the road, he'll be around 40. And we see quarterbacks at 40 still doing their thing. Tom Brady's 42. Drew Brees is 40, and we see, you know, we've seen the regression in Drew Brees' arm talent as he's gotten older, and he's still excelling. And there's so far, there's no reason to believe that Russell Wilson will just fall off a cliff anytime soon. last year, throwing for over 4,000 yards, 31 touchdowns to 5 interceptions, which is an incredible ratio. And the durability is there. He's never missed a game in his career. And he's had a winning season every year. The worst season he's had was 9-7, and other than that, it's been 10-plus wins. So the numbers are there, the durability is there, and these past couple of years, he hasn't had a lot of offensive line help, and he's proved that he can still move around in the pocket and behind the line of scrimmage to be able to give his receivers a little bit of time to maneuver down the field and get open. As a 30-year-old, that's all you can really ask for. So if he does end up becoming more of a pocket passer, he'll still be really talented.
All right. Next up, I have TJ Watt. Now, the reason I picked TJ Watt, he's been really good and has had a great rank of play over the 3 years he's been in the league. Each year, he's had 7-plus sacks. His rookie year, he did all right. Only having 7 sacks. But after that, 2018, 2019, he had 13 sacks, 14.5. And he's really been climbing up, getting better and better. And right now, he's only 25. 7 years down the road, 32, he will still be a good pass rusher by then. And I feel that you sign him to a long-term deal, he will really excel and bring some pass rush to whatever team he is on.
Yeah, I mean, he's due for a payday soon, so we'll see what the Steelers decide to do with him there. My next player was Quentin Nelson. Again, another easy one for me. Just the success he's had in the league from his rookie year to where he is now. It's just incredible to see. Really helps. Well, he did help Andrew Luck. Now he's looking forward to helping Philip Rivers. And I think that he's arguably the best guard in the NFL. And the fact that he's only 23 says something. So the longevity will be there 7 years, 8 years, 9 years down the road. He'll be around 30, maybe just over. And at guard, I mean, it's a realistic possibility that he's in the league for another 10 years. So give him another 10 years, give him a 10-year extension and see what happens with his rookie deal. I think he has 2 more years on his rookie deal if they pick up the fifth-year option, possibly 3. But then give him the 10-year extension, he'll be 35, 36. And for a guard, that's not impossible. But
all right. The next person I have up is my first offensive player, and that is George Kittle. Now, the reason I picked him, in his 2 years in the NFL, he's lit it on fire, having 1,000-plus yard seasons, 5 TDs, and I could see him really being a good asset to the 49ers team, because at the tight end position, you really don't need speed. It does help, I'm going to be honest. But you've had tight ends like Gronkowski.
Gronk, like, Tony Gonzalez.
Well, he was fast, real kind of, I would say.
Yeah, but he played until he was like 30.
Antonio Gates was pretty good at his prime. Jimmy Graham. You just have to be a big body who can block. And I remember, I don't know if you've seen this, but the play where on the goal line, George Kittle, I forget which Falcons safety, but he plows one over and then starts like clapping or laughing. But he can block, he can catch, he can do it all. And I believe that even in his 30s, he will be an elite receiver that it will be hard to cover with anyone you try and put on him.
Yeah, my next player, you might start seeing a trend of positions that I value, quarterback and offensive line. And this is the most important offensive line position, left tackle. I'm giving an extension to Ronnie Stanley. Definitely, because a lot of Lamar Jackson's success is because of Ronnie Stanley. Left tackle is very important in the NFL, and Ronnie Stanley's done nothing but absolutely tear up that position. Last year, he was really, really good. Lamar Jackson won MVP because of him, and you saw a bunch of holes were open for running backs like Mark Ingram and Gus Edwards to be able to run through him in the guard. So Ronnie Stanley's definitely in conversation for one of the best left tackles in the NFL, and he's still very young, only 24, so we'll see where it goes from here. The Ravens are kind of in contract extension talk with Ronnie Stanley, and we'll see what they end up giving him.
All right, for my fourth person, I have David, sorry if I butcher this, Bakhtiari. Now, David, he's, as you're saying, valuing left tackles. You got to have that someone to block your blind side unless you are a left-handed QB. Now, David Bakhtiari had a great year last year. He played a total of 1,075 snaps, had 2 sacks allowed, which means in about 500 snaps he allowed 1 sack, which is amazing. I would say he's the best tackle in the game, and that it would be, and that even though he is 28, linemen do really go till their mid to late 30s. And I feel if you could get him signed, he could protect your backside, and you would really have all this money to focus on the other people, and you just have kind of a lock in your left tackle because he's never disappointed.
Yeah, definitely. My guy, I'm going to the defensive side of the ball for this. My fourth player would be Kenny Clark. I know he is a nose tackle, and you don't usually pay nose tackles a lot. But, I mean, the longevity is there for nose tackles. I mean, you look at people like Michael Pierce, 26 years old, just got a new contract with the Vikings, and got a hefty payday. I would definitely give a contract extension to Kenny Clark. You look at the stats. He had 6 sacks and a forced fumble coming from the nose tackle position, along with 62 tackles. I mean, that's pretty good from the nose tackle position, considering that he's not asked a lot of to get after the quarterback. He's just kind of there to stuff the run and allow his defensive ends and stuff like that to be able to attack the football and stop the run game. So Kenny Clark is definitely on a path to superstardom, and we'll see where his career takes him. But I would definitely consider giving him a 7-plus-year contract.
All right, for my last pick here, I'm going to take Deshaun Watson. Now, in this pick, quarterback's really good. He is a young quarterback who is going to be really good. He has performed at a very high level. He's only 24, so sign him for a 10-year. He will still be at his prime, maybe give him another contract. Well, not his prime, but he'd still be playing at a high level. Last year, he had 3,800 yards. The year before, 4,100. He's just having really good throwing stats. I know he's had a good receiver in DeAndre Hopkins, but I still believe he would be a good quarterback. Both years, he's thrown 26 touchdowns and 12-9 interceptions, which is, I would say, if you have a ratio of 2 TDs to 1 interception, that's great. That may just be me, but I feel that he could really help any team. And it's not like he's not a mobile quarterback. He will move around. He got a good amount of rushing yards last year in 400. So he's really a good player all around for your quarterback, because you don't necessarily have to have a great offensive line, as the Texans really only have Laremy Tunsil as a good alignment there, showing that really he can help out your whole offense in creating plays and being an improviser.
Well, I mean, Lamar Jackson last year had a ratio of 6 touchdowns to every one.
But he had a good line.
Everyone still hates him.
He had a good old line, though. That's the difference.
Okay, so the Texans finally have started to build up their line. Last year was the first year that Deshaun Watson wasn't sacked 40 times, I believe, right?
You
might have to check that.
He was sacked 44. Year before it was 62. Oh, my God. Yeah. Not tomorrow.
Big improvement. They did sign Laremy Tunsil, or they did trade for Laremy Tunsil, and they drafted Titus Howard last year. But no, definitely Deshaun, I would consider Deshaun Watson. The only thing that is kind of a red flag for me is, he either plays like
super
a top five quarterback or he's borderline top 15. It depends on the day, and especially without his number one target, as you mentioned. That's a little bit of a red flag for me.
He still has Brandon Cooks, though, which they obtained, and Will Fuller. Mm-hmm. If Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks can stay healthy, that's going to be a fun offense to watch.
Yeah, I think you can make an argument that Will Fuller was more important to that offense than DeAndre Hopkins, because when Will Fuller was in the game, it was a really good offense. It's pretty dangerous. But that was when he was in the game. Speaking of red flags, my fifth and final player, who is in contract extension talks right now with the Cleveland Browns, Myles Garrett. He only played 10 games last year because of the whole helmet thing. But in those 10 games, he had 10 sacks and 2 forced fumbles. That means he was on pace for nearly 16 sacks, which is a sack every single game of the year. If you can do that, that's definitely some good numbers that deserve a contract extension. That would have put him top 5 in the league for sacks. So it's definitely got to, take these stats into consideration and definitely look at giving Myles Garrett a contract extension. And in this case, I would. The year before, when he played the full 16 games, he had 13.5 sacks with 3 forced fumbles. And his rookie year, he had 7. So that definitely solidifies Myles Garrett's role and importance to this Cleveland Browns defense.
I say he is a pretty risky pick, as you said, because really, I couldn't really be sure that if he just needs to keep his mind right and not kind of lash out like he did against Mason Rudolph. Like, if he can keep his mind right and he will be really good, but it's just that thing that concerns me. It's not like it was a little bump up, like getting angry at a ref or like a coach or something like that. He physically assaulted the quarterback with his own helmet. And
well, I think like obviously that's something.
No, but I know like
more of a red flag for me for Myles Garrett is just I don't want to call him lazy. But the laziness once the ball gets past him, that was a big one of his biggest knocks coming out of college, that once the ball comes past him, he wasn't really, you know, beelining after it like, say, a Chase Young would. But he's definitely very, very impactful. And I think if he goes 100% on every play, definitely, definitely a big game changer. And money talks. So.
Money does. All right. You want to close it up, Pagey?
All right. That's going to be it for today's podcast. Let us know if you guys agree or not. I think we had a pretty good list of players.
We will be doing this more often, though, boys. We are back on that grind. Let's go.
I feel bad. That's like the third time you said that.
Yeah. Well... Third time's a charm, am I right?
Third time's a charm.
All right.
Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back later in the week, next week sometime, with more podcasts. Thank you guys.
Peace out.